What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton, co-host Wes Goldberg, joining me in just a minute from Los Angeles, where the Warriors are taking on the Clippers tonight. They also have a familiar face joining them for the first time this year. Won't be on the court, but we'll be there cheering them on, and I am irrationally excited about that. We also have some trade speculation going on, more roster moves, more injury updates, all that good stuff coming at you next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, Wes Goldberg joining me in just a minute. Another good one for you as we send you off into the weekend. Dubs taking on the Clippers tonight. Steph going to be joining the team. Not on the court, but on the road trip. First time all year. That's going to be fun. Some injury updates, some trade deadline stuff as well. And we're not going to cover Perk and KD because KD's not a Warrior. And Perk is a clown who has ridden superstar coattails his entire career. Whether it's KG, Russ and KD, LeBron, or now Rachel Nichols. So I have nothing really to say about Perk. He's just another guy who's trying to throw shade at Kevin Durant and diminish what he did with the Warriors. So we're going to leave that one there. But we are going to talk about tonight's game. We're going to talk about the potential trades that have been thrown out there, all that good fun stuff. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather, landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. It's a one-of-a-kind spring training experience. You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. You can hit up every single stadium. You get to meet the players, get their autographs before games. I mean, honestly, it's one of the best experiences you can have if you're a baseball fan. It's similar to Summer League. For NBA, you're out there schmoozing with the baseball players. You're bumping into them at restaurants and bars. You're having casual conversations with these guys. It is awesome. I can't urge you enough, if you're a baseball fan, to go see. Check out my A's. Go bump into Matt Chapp and tell him I said what's up. There's tons to see and do outside of baseball. You can check out amazing restaurants and bars, tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angels, Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Tons of live music and national sports. You can explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art, musical instruments from around the world. Arizona is also known for its incredible landscapes, thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road, explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Then get back for a baseball game. There's hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in the sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. You can check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Bring the kids along to spring training. Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for the kids of all ages, water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and Dude Ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That is visitarizona.com/springtraining. Wes, what's up, man? You, of course, are in LA for tonight's game against the Clippers, which on paper does not look like a good matchup, in my opinion. But hey, the Warriors played the Bucks hard the other night, so we'll see what happens tonight. But we have to get to our regularly scheduled programming of injury updates because we continue to get them. So what is the update for tonight's game as far as Draymond and D'Angelo Russell are concerned?
Yeah, Draymond Green didn't practice on Thursday. He did practice he did go through shoot-around on Friday. He's good to go tonight against the Clippers. And D'Angelo Russell is out Friday versus the Clippers, but will play on Sunday in Memphis.
So that's for sure that D'Angelo Russell will be back on Sunday.
Barring a setback, yeah, Steve Kerr is fully expecting D'Angelo Russell to play Sunday.
And that's good. I mean, look, he's missed plenty of time. I guess, like I've said this season, it's always tough to root for losses or be okay with them. But, again, you know, the more they lose, the better off that draft pick is. And the more D'Angelo Russell is out, the more losing they're probably going to do. So it's one of those weird situations this season. But it'll be good to get him back. And that coincides with actually Ty Bowman basically using up his last days and going back to Santa Cruz, right?
Right. He's got, while we're talking, this is his 41st of his 45 NBA days. So he's only got four more days left. The team won't practice tomorrow, so that won't count against him. He'll travel with the team to Memphis and isn't expected to play on Sunday versus Memphis. So he should still maintain right around 41 days. And the interesting thing is that the Santa Cruz Warriors play in Memphis on Monday, the day after the Golden State Warriors play in Memphis. So the Warriors are going to leave Ky Bowman in Memphis, basically, on Sunday night. Ky's going to just chill on Beale Street, I guess, and then rejoin the Santa Cruz Warriors. He'll just join the Santa Cruz Warriors when they get there. So he'll have like a few days in Memphis there, and then just then travel with the Santa Cruz Warriors back to California, and will just continue to basically be in the G League until anything changes.
Yeah, and I know Steve Kerr says he wants him down there to, I don't know, continue to develop his game into what they want it to be. And I guess with his recent struggles, it makes sense. You know, I think everyone knows I'm really high on Ky Bowman, and it's too bad that he won't be able to spend time with the Golden State Warriors because of the two-way contract, or at least until they figure out a way to get him on the roster. But, you know, I've also mentioned his struggles seem to coincide with the fact that they want him to play a little differently. And it seems to have taken away some of his aggressiveness, at least on the scoring side.
Yeah, and I think also part of it is they want to make sure that they use every single one of these days appropriately and smartly. And it's usually going to be in situations where they're missing D'Angelo Russell. I mean, D'Angelo Russell's only played like half of these games for the Warriors so far this season. So if you've used up now all of Ky Bowman's days, and D'Angelo Russell gets hurt again, then you don't have a real point guard. And so I think that's a huge part of it too, is they feel comfortable with Ky Bowman with the ball in his hands. And if D'Angelo is not playing and Kai's used all of his 45 days, then I don't know what you're going to do at the point guard spot. I mean, I guess you could just play Draymond Green at the one, but mostly I think they want to just have somebody available.
Yeah, I also, you know, I don't like bashing players or anything like that, but he's a young kid, but I don't know how much more of Jacob Evans I can take at the point guard. It's been a struggle for sure. Ky Bowman going back to the G League, you know, like I said, I'd like to see Jordan Poole down there as well. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think it should, but again, we'll have to wait and see.
I asked Steve Kerr about Jordan Poole today. Jordan won't be joining Ky in the G League when he goes back, but he will, like, the plan is for Jordan Poole to eventually go back down. I think they're just trying to get as healthy as possible before they actually move Jordan back to Santa Cruz.
Good, because I just hated the fact that he starts getting some momentum over three games and playing really well. He was playing really well in the G League, and then he comes up and looks like the Jordan Poole we saw most of the year. It just felt like it was too quick, but I know injuries had something to do with it and whatnot. So it'll be good that he goes back down. Smiley Geach is going to go back down eventually. Steve Kerr mentioned that, wants to just get him as much playing time as possible. So this is a season of roster moves, man. And roster moves, whether it's just back and forth from the G League or roster moves with Marquise Chris being waived and Damian Lee eventually getting signed and opening up that second two-way contract. I'm super impatient, and I would like them to sign Damian Lee right now and sign a two-way player right now. What is the exact holdup now that Marquise Chris has cleared waivers? Are they just trying to use every day of the 45 days before they sign Damian Lee, or what's going on?
I think it's more of just trying to figure out what that contract is going to look like. Not just numbers, but length and years, how much the guarantees are going to be for this is actually not as straightforward as a contract as I think a lot of people expected it to be. The Warriors want to reward Damian Lee not only with a roster spot, but with a lot more stability. Like, they don't want to sign him basically for the balance of the season. They want to give him multiple years, right? Like, that's the whole point. That's what you're trying to find here, and that's why you move on from a guy like Marquese Chriss the way they did, was because you think Damian Lee could stick around for a while on the same, you know, the other thing that they have to worry about, though, is Damian Lee has an injury history. He's 27. He's kind of is what he is, and we don't really know what that's going to look like when this team is healthy and how much of a role he's realistically going to play. And we know that the Warriors are going to want to keep making moves, and Damian Lee could be a part of future moves. I mean, he's a good player. He could be a bit player in a trade piece that kind of in a trade package that maybe gets a deal over the top. Who knows? But the Warriors want to maintain their flexibilities, basically. And you could sign Damian Lee to a 2-year deal, maybe even a 3-year deal, and those second and third years could just be partially guaranteed. And I'm sure it's Damian Lee's representation working with the Warriors front office, trying to figure out, okay, what kind of deal really makes the most sense here. And I think that's pretty much what the holdup has been.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's simple. Oh, a guy going from a two-way to a full contract like that, easy, get it done. But, I mean, we saw Daniel House last year with the Rockets where he said, no, I'm not taking your team-friendly deal. Like, I know I'm worth more than that. And he didn't rejoin the team until the playoffs and then signed a bigger restricted free agency deal with them. And now it's a different situation. Daniel House did have more leverage, but these two-way to, you know, full NBA roster contracts are more complicated than just, oh, I'm getting guaranteed money now, because there's leverage involved on both sides. So we'll see what happens. I'm impatient. I want it all to happen. I want that second two-way spot to be filled. There's a number of G League guys that could potentially fill it. And here's a weird one that I don't think will happen, but what if they tried to give that two-way spot to Marquese Chriss? I don't think he'd be willing to do it, but like that's a way to bring him back in the fold. That's me just playing fantasy GM. I'm sure there's rules against it, actually, so don't quote me on that or anything.
Well, he's cleared. He's cleared waivers. He can just sign. He could sign a two-way. He could sign a 10-day. Yeah. But now that he's cleared waivers, Marquise actually said he'd be willing to sign a two-way contract in the preseason during training camp. Yeah, but I think that ship has sailed at this point. I think he's proven enough where he's not going to have to do that.
Yeah, agreed. So we'll see what happens. There is one player who is still out but joining the team on the road trip. First road trip he's been on all year, I believe. And we are going to talk about him and that situation in just 1 minute. Wes, Steph Curry has joined the Warriors on this short road trip to L.A. and Memphis. And it's a great development because it's the first road trip he's been on this year. I've talked about it before, just having him and Clay around. I mean, I know Clay's not on the road trip, but just having those guys around, it just feels more like the Warriors, just having those friendly MVP faces. But the pessimist in me said, oh, wow, Steph's going on a road trip to L.A. What a guy. That must be a huge development. You know, I'm sure he's got tons of business down there or whatever. But the Warriors fan in me says that's great and it's a nice development. And, you know, that is just one step closer to him coming back. Like, what have they said about him being able to join the team on his first road trip of the year?
Well, it's a noticeable sign of progress. It is important that he's able to do that. I mean, he's no longer wearing any kind of bandaging or casts or anything on that surgically repaired left hand. He's been shooting now 4 days straight, either at the practice facility or obviously this morning in LA after shoot around at UCLA. And he looks really good. Like that, it's classic Steph Curry where he's shooting and the ball goes in and that's it. And Steve Kerr even mentioned, he's like, it's unbelievable. The guy doesn't pick up a basketball for almost 2 months and he just starts shooting and you still expect everything to go in. And it's just incredible. Today, after shoot around, Steph went through another workout and he did it with Draymond Green. And I think not only was Steph just happy to be there, happy to be on his first road trip, Draymond Green was really into it. And, you know, he had his longtime teammate back with him. They were, you know, going back and forth with some shooting drills and things like that. And I think it's that sort of thing that kind of can boost morale, sort of lift a guy like Draymond Green's spirits during, you know, a losing streak that they're currently on. That's important. And then just having Steph around, it just reinforces that this is the Warriors. This gap year is a short-term thing. And sooner rather than later, Steph Curry's going to get back on the court. And not everything's going to snap back into place, but they're going to be much on their way to getting back to being contenders in the Western Conference. So I there's no downside of Steph being there. Obviously, the fact that he's traveling means that he's on pace with the original timetable of probably March of his return. And I think he's ramping up towards that right now. I mean, it's January 10th right now. I mean, we're not that far away from his February 1 reevaluation date. And then after that, doctors that I've talked to say it takes about a month to kind of, after that final evaluation, to really begin the heavy rehab portion. It takes about a month to strengthen that hand. But it wouldn't shock me if Steph was even ahead of schedule with the way he looks right now. So I think March is still a good date where you could see Steph Curry get back on the court. And it should be, you know, something really, really interesting to watch at the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you about March. I think even once he is cleared, I'm giving him another week after that. I mean, especially with what happened in the finals last year, I think the Warriors are going to be as careful as possible. One of the funny scenes from that shoot-around, which, look, it's just a shoot-around, but Steph looks like Steph, knocking down just about every single three, was Draymond was wearing an Allen Smilagic jersey for some reason.
Yep.
I just think he really likes it. I mean, we've talked about it before. Anyone who's got the attitude of Smilagic, I think Draymond sees some of himself in a player like that who's just has zero fear and, you know, F you check ball kind of attitude. And it's pretty funny to see, man.
Steve Curry the other day mentioned about Smilagic that he's got the Draymond Green seal of approval. And that's all you need to know about Smilagic. And I think that pretty much nails it, right? And and when you see Draymond Green going through this long-awaited shooting drill with his, you know, longtime teammate with Curry, while also donning the jersey of his newest and youngest teammate, Allen Smilagic, who he's really grown pretty close to. I think he really admires Smilagic's earnestness and just wanting to get better. And I don't think that there's a better sign. Like, Draymond knows what he's doing when he does that. He knows that he's also shooting on the basket closest to where the media was standing. He was ready for that photograph to be taken. He was basically baiting it. And so we all took the photographs and posted it on Twitter, and they're out there now. And then Allen Smilagic comes over with his laundry bag, because that's what you have to do as a rookie, is you carry your own laundry and do stuff like that. So he comes over with his laundry bag and asks Draymond Green for his jersey back, which was also a funny little development too. So, it's all good vibes right now. And maybe it helps that it's beautiful in Los Angeles and everybody's feeling good, but good vibes right now.
Yeah, for sure. And Draymond, you know, part of that is Draymond has an affinity for second rounders that make it and undrafted players that make it because of the fact, you know, he was 35th overall pick to a, you know, future Hall of Famer. With the trade deadline less than a month away, there's been a lot of speculation coming out. We're starting to see the articles. Everyone's trying to frame the trade deadline and what it's going to look like. And Sam Amick of The Athletic had an article come out recently where he reported that the idea of Aaron Gordon for D'Angelo Russell was shot down by the Warriors with what he called a hard no. And I think there's a lot more to it than just, you know, this player for that player. Obviously, there would need to be more salary filler. But what was your opinion on that when you first heard it, that they slapped it with a hard no, Aaron Gordon for D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, the Aaron Gordon connection has been made mostly by people outside of the Warriors organization because they
in
see
Orlando.
What they've done with a guy like Draymond Green. Yeah, guys in Orlando. But I feel like it's one of those trade machine favorites like Kevin Love to Portland that just is always out there for some reason. And it makes sense. That pretty much jives with what I've been hearing too, is like Aaron Gordon's is not a player that they're very interested in. I don't think that they're sold on like Aaron Gordon's. I think they like his skill set. I don't think it's even an issue with him not being able to shoot the ball particularly well. I think what it is his mindset, and he wants to be the man, and he has all the tools to be a really good bit player, but is more concerned about you know, being he's trying to be more Kawhi Leonard than he is Draymond Green, and that's a problem. And I don't think that that's going to fit with what the Warriors are going to do. And I think they've been really impressed with what D'Angelo Russell has done as far as, you know, acquiescing sort of some of the ball handling duties and being very deferential to Steph and Clay and Draymond. I think they've been really impressed with that part of D'Angelo Russell's personality, and I think they see that as a better fit than they do Aaron Gordon, even though I think a lot of people would kind of look on paper and say that Aaron Gordon is a better fit for the Warriors than D'Angelo Russell is. So it doesn't surprise me at all that what Sam reported this morning was that the Warriors were just not interested in Aaron Gordon. Now, if you were to propose maybe Jonathan Isaac, you might really have something there, but the Magic are not willing to budge on Jonathan Isaac from the other reports that we're hearing.
And on top of that, they're not going to sell low on D'Angelo Russell, which means he's not going – unless someone comes with a massive trade offer before the trade deadline, I would be shocked if they traded D'Angelo Russell this season. I don't think it'll happen until at the very least the offseason. And, yes, Aaron Gordon for D'Angelo Russell wouldn't work just by rule because of matching salaries. But, yeah, you throw a couple first-round picks in there, maybe another player, maybe they would think about it. But the idea of D'Angelo Russell for Aaron Gordon – not happening. I mean, we see the Warriors aren't willing to sell low on Alec Burks. There's no way they're going to sell low on D'Angelo Russell. Right. So,
yeah, that, I think
the report makes sense, basically.
Yeah, 100%. Everything that I mean, like, they're not going to trade D'Angelo Russell this season. Like, multiple people have told me that. Unless, like, what you said, some monster offer comes in, but the Bucks aren't trading Giannis midseason. Like, the Timberwolves aren't trading Karl Anthony Towns midseason. Like, there's no trade. Like, this Ben Simmons idea is ridiculous. Like, somehow Ben Simmons is a better fit with the team than D'Angelo Russell. Like, I don't see that whatsoever. You know, everybody's like, oh, defense. It's like, all right, big deal. Like, the guy's a complete non-starter on offense. You can't play him and Draymond in offense together at all. Like, I don't care how many Steph Currys you have. So, the other thing, like, I saw on The Athletic, too, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record here, but this idea that they had some column, like it was like a back and forth between some of their writers, and they were talking about the idea of maybe the Timberwolves, from the Timberwolves' perspective, what can they do to get D'Angelo Russell, right? Because we keep hearing, we talk about it all the time from the Warriors' perspective, but they were saying, like, what could the Timberwolves do? Because they want to make the playoffs right now, and right now they're not going to make it. Their season is sinking, and it kind of feels like they have to do something to make Karl Anthony Towns happy, and trading for D'Angelo Russell would certainly do that. And so they looked at it from the Timberwolves' perspective of what could they do to pry D'Angelo Russell away from the Warriors in the middle of this season. And again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but why do people keep proposing Robert Covington and picks for D'Angelo Russell? Like, it.
There's one specific writer at The Athletic who, I don't know, thinks Robert Covington is the missing link for the Warriors, and he's not. He's not, and he's not worth trading D'Angelo Russell for. So I couldn't agree more with you, man. And yeah, broken record, but I don't care because it's correct. I mean, say it as much as you want because I am with you 100%.
Yeah, we got to get on here and say it's not going to happen. Like, it's just not going to happen. I don't know where this idea came from. It's like, do the Warriors like Robert Covington? Sure, probably. Like him enough to trade an all-star point guard? No, not at all. An all-star point guard is 23 years old. No, they don't like him that much.
Here's a first-rounder in 3 years. Going out there. Like, I'm fine if they trade for Robert Covington. It's something else, but you're not giving up the 23-year-old all-star point guard for Robert Covington. You're
absolutely.
Just not.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
If you're not doing it for Aaron Gordon, you're not doing it for Robert Covington. I'm sick of hearing about it because there's also other role players out there as well. He's not the only 3-and-D role player there is. So I guess that's a good note to end on.
I'm going to say this one more time because I keep saying it and I keep writing it. The Golden State Warriors are not going to trade D'Angelo Russell for anything other than what they deem as an upgrade, a player upgrade. I don't know how many times I need to say that. That is, from everything I'm hearing, that is what they're going to do if they indeed move off of D'Angelo Russell, which is also not a guarantee to happen. I think it's more likely that it happens because he's such a valuable asset and because he could be used, and they're going to be accumulating a lot more assets to put an interesting trade package together. And we know that they like to swing for the fences. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a swing for the fences if they trade D'Angelo Russell. It is not going to be to pick up a couple of bit players who can fill out your bench. They're not going to do it that way.
I think we should end every show now with the Warriors are not trading D'Angelo Russell for Robert Covington. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Everyone have a nice, safe, fun weekend, and we will talk to you next week here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.